Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Solomon here in the book of Proverbs writes to, as it were, his children. It's given in a way where it's as if a father is talking to his own son. Look at verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. In chapter number 1, he talks, my son. Throughout this book of Proverbs, you constantly hear those words, my son, my son, my son. And here a father is addressing, as it were, his son. And though this is Solomon, ultimately it's God. The Spirit of God beseeches us through the Father and says, my son, my son, my son, hear the instruction of a father. If there's anyone's instruction that we should be hearing this day, my friend, it's God in heaven, our Father. And here we see the instruction of a father, and we ought to attend to no understanding. In verses 2 through to verse number 10, Solomon expresses and emphasizes the importance of wisdom. In verse 7, he says that wisdom is the principal thing. I mean, if you get wisdom, you've got it. Wisdom is what it's all about, my friend. If we have God's wisdom, in a sense where we have God's word, and not only have God's word, but obey and apply God's words, that's wisdom. And he says, if we have wisdom, we have the principal thing. That's what it's all about, God's wisdom. It's all about the wisdom of God given to us that we might obey and follow in his ways. Wisdom has many benefits. In verse number 8, it says, it will promote thee, it will honor thee, it will grace thee, it will crown thee, if you follow through down there, and it will deliver thee. But our responsibility toward wisdom is also found in verse 8, where it says that we are to exalt her. And also in verses 8 through to verse 10, it talks about that we are to receive her. We are to not forsake her. We are to get her. We are not to forget her. And this is what the Bible teaches about wisdom. God offers us wisdom. Wisdom is before us in his word. Wisdom is before us in life and in the things that God and his Spirit are seeking to teach us. But we have a duty toward wisdom, that is to get wisdom, to get understanding, to not forget her, to keep her, to guard her in our lives, and to give wisdom the rightful place that she deserves within our hearts and within our lives. And then when we look at verses 11 to 13, then comes the paths. And he says, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom, the path of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. Verse 12, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Then we see the paths. Verse 14, enter not the paths of the righteous, the paths of wisdom. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Verse 14, and go not in the way of evil men. And then verse 16 to 17, verse 15 says, avoid it. That's what we ought to do with the path of the wicked, by the way. We are to avoid it. Avoid all appearance of evil. Flee fornication, the Bible says. Talks about fleeing all ungodliness and unrighteousness. We ought to avoid the pathway of the wicked. Don't enter into it. Verse 14, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. Why? For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Those that are on the path of wickedness are itching to do evil, and they have an itch, and they cannot sleep until they do evil, and therefore they can rest, knowing that they have done what their wicked flesh has desired to do. And those of us that have walked the path of wickedness have known that itch, as it were, where you need to commit evil before you sleep, or you feel like something's missing in your life. And that's the path of the wicked. That's not the path of the righteous. And here the Bible teaches us that there is a path of the wicked, and their food and their drink is wickedness and violence. That's all they live on. They live on wickedness and violence. That's their daily sustenance. They wake up to do evil, and they cannot sleep unless they have done evil. But there's another path. Verse 18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. There is another path. There is another way. Thank God there's not only the way of the wicked, but there is the path of the just, the path of the righteous, and it's described as a shining light. My friend, that is the narrow way. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereout, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. My friend, those that are on the path of the way of the wicked, they're on the broad road, and it's leading to a destruction in the lake of fire. But my friend, there is another path. It's called the path of the righteous. And Jesus refers to it, I guess, as the narrow way. And it leads to life. It's the way, not of the transgressor, it's the way of the righteous. And that's the way that we ought to be on today. And I want to talk about the path of the righteous today and how it just gets better and sweeter as the days go by. Can I just make a statement here? The person and the path are inseparable. You are the person of your path. Do not think that because you are taking the wicked path that you're not wicked and that you're righteous. That's the self-deception of the fleshly nature today. You are the person of your path. The path that you travel is who you are. If you travel the road of righteousness, you are righteous. If you travel the road of wickedness, you are nothing but someone who is wicked. That's why the Bible teaches in 1 John that it says, everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him, and he that doeth not righteousness is not born of God, but he has basically the seed of the evil one, not the seed of the righteous one in him. And we need to understand that you are the person on the path that you are the person of your path. I think we live in a day of self-deception today where people think that they can live a life of wickedness and still consider themselves to be righteous. That's the foolishness of a corrupt society in that we live in today. But the Bible says, don't fool yourself. There is a path of wickedness. There is a path of righteousness. My friend, which path are you on? Where do your steps trod? Where do your feet walk? Where do your eyes go? Are you on the path of righteousness? I want to talk about that path of righteousness. It's as a shining light. Look what it says there in verse number 18. But the path of the just, or of the righteous ones, is as a shining light. It is as a shining light. It is as a shining light in its purity. Light is pure. It's pure. And light, this is descriptive for us of purity. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 7, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. What does that mean? God is holy, God is pure, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. My friend, there is a path that is the path of the just, and it is as a shining light. It is pure. It is holy. It's not a path of darkness. It's a path of light. The Bible says that there is a path of the just. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There is a path of wickedness which we ought to avoid, which is the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, and sitting in the seat of the scornful. And there is a path of the ungodly which we are to avoid. It says in verse number 6 of chapter 1, it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way, the path of the righteous, but the way or the path of the ungodly shall perish. The blessed man is a man that shuns evil and walks upon the holy path of light. My friend, are you walking in the light of God's word? Are you walking in holiness? That's walking on the path of light. And God's path is a path of light. It's as a shining light. It's as the bright light that shines from the sky. And you look at the sun, it's all its glory and purity. It's a representation of God's holiness, and he is light. Now, it's a transparent path because nothing can be hidden under the light. Light is a examining tool to find dirt and to expose darkness. That's what light is there for. Come with me to the book of John, chapter number 3, verses 19 to 20. The book of John, chapter number 3, verses 19 to 20. The path of the righteous is as a shining light. It's a pure path. It's a holy path. It's not a path of unrighteousness. It's a path that reflects the holy character of God, those that are to be holy, for he is holy. Look at John chapter number 3, verses 19, verse number 20 to 21. 19, 20, 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. They rather take the pathway of darkness rather than take the way of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the light of the world. You take the path of Christ, you walk the path of light. But men love darkness. Here's the reality of our situation, of our sinful condition, rather than light. Why? Because our deeds are evil. Because of our fleshly sinful nature that we're born with in Adam, that only produces that which is against God. They that are in the flesh, the Bible says, cannot please God. We cannot please God with this flesh. The flesh is self-righteous, even though it may appear to please God. If there's not a regenerated heart, if there's not the power of the Holy Spirit, all it is self-righteousness, which is in the sight of God as filthy rags. There must be a regeneration in the heart of man. But why does man not approach the light? Well, because their deeds were evil. That's why they love darkness more than light. Why? Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. But what's wrong with light? Well, they only hate it because it's different to what they're doing, and it exposes what they're doing. Okay, it explains it here. Then everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Or there is the answer to why people don't come to the light. Because when you come to the light, my friend, it exposes the darkness of a man's heart. And people do not come to Jesus Christ and will refuse to walk that narrow way and will refuse to enter into that path of life and to walk on the path of the just one and the righteous way, because their hearts will first be exposed that they have always been on a path of darkness. You know, when you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are coming with the understanding that you're a sinner and that you've been on a dark path. And you've been going your own way, and you've been on the pathway of wickedness, and now here is the pathway of righteousness. When you come to Jesus Christ, you don't come indifferent about your sin. You come with your sin exposed. The light of the gospel exposes man's sinfulness. The preaching of the cross exposes man's need for a Savior. And when you hear the blessed gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you hear the words, repent or perish. You hear the words, repent and believe the gospel. You hear those words that call you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And when you come out of darkness into light, my friend, your sin is therefore exposed. So why don't people come to the light? I tell you why they don't come to the light, because their deeds are evil and they don't want to be exposed. It's a heart of pride and a heart of self-righteousness. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Isn't that a blessing? There's nothing to hide from if you're doing that which is right. Amen. And look at Ephesians chapter number 5. Here's another passage that speaks to us of the power of light and the work of light. And this path is a pure path, and this path is a transparent path. You cannot hide on this path. If you walk the path of righteousness, your sin will be exposed. Even as a believer. If our hearts are too proud to come face to face with our sin, we are not on the path of righteousness, my friend. You have taken a detour. But those that are even righteous and are fervently seeking to walk that path of righteousness, they will put their lives up to the light, as it were. And they're happy to stay there. And whenever sin comes, they rather have it exposed than to keep it hidden, lest they deceive themselves and get off that beautiful path that God has prepared, the path of the just. So here we see in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 11, it says here, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's something that we need to be aware of today. There are unfruitful works of darkness, not only in the world, but also in compromised assemblies where there is darkness being practiced in religious organizations. But it says here that we are to have no fellowship, no communion, no concord, no closeness, no heart to heart, as it were, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Reprove them. That's what we ought to do with darkness. We are not meant to entertain darkness, neither are we meant to enjoy darkness or to associate with darkness. Our duty toward darkness is to reprove darkness. That's to rebuke darkness. That's the job of the believer. to reprove darkness. Look what it says there in verse number 12. For it is a shame to even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. All things that are reproved and rebuked have been revealed and made manifest by the light. There must first be a making manifest before there is a reproving. And when sin is made manifest in the heart of a man or of a woman, then comes the reproof and the light of God's word that shines upon that dark spot, as it were. So it says here that all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Well, there we go. What does light do? It makes manifest. If we were to turn off all the lights in this room, okay, and it was to be our evening service, you would not be able to tell whether the floor was dirty or clean. You would not be able to know whether you were sitting on a clean chair or a dirty chair. You would not know the difference. But as soon as we hit the lights and we turn the lights on, all of a sudden we start to see very clearly what is before us. There's all of a sudden a transparency in the room. All of a sudden that which was once hidden has now been brought to light, as we would say. And the Bible says that one day Jesus is coming, and in judgment he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. And he'll make manifest the counsels of men's hearts, and everything that we're hiding within the darkness of our heart. One day the light of God's word will shine in judgment, and every evil thought, action and deed will be brought to the surface, my friend. And that will be a day of reckoning. That will be a day where all shall be revealed. Now those that walk the path of righteousness are walking in transparency. They're walking in transparency. If you are living a life that's double and hidden, you are not walking in transparency. If you are double-minded, double-tongued, you are not walking the path of righteousness. If there are hidden spots in your life this morning, my friend, you are not on that path of righteousness. You need to get back on the path of righteousness. If you're living a life that is double-lifed, you need to get back on the path of righteousness, because you are not living a transparent life. You see, a transparent life is a life that has allowed the shining light of that path to shine right through their hearts. And there's something about that. There's something about a man or a woman that's transparent, that's precious. It really is. There's something about a transparent person that we don't see much of in our day today. I think you would agree with us. We're living in a superficial, plastic day today where you don't even know what people look like and you don't even know who people are. And it can take several years before you can even trust somebody today. Why? Because of a lack of transparency in our culture and in our day. And God forbid that in the church of God, there will be hidden secrets and darkness in the hearts of God's people. And I pray that if there is, that God will bring it to light. And I pray that if there is, that God will expose us, as it were. Not for any other reason, but for His glory, that we can come back on that path of righteousness. Why hide, for my friend? Why hide when you can be open and transparent and clear in your heart? That's the path of the righteous. That's the path that our hearts ought to be on today. No secrets, hidden secrets in our lives. Away with the hidden secrets. Confess them before the Lord. And if you need to make it right before a brother and sister, go and tell them face to face. No need for hidden secrets in the Christian life, my friend. The path of the righteous allows that beaming sun, that pure light of God's holiness, to shine into the heart. And it's like a transparent body, as it were. You know, when you I sometimes do it. I got on my phone the flash at the back. I put my finger on it sometimes and I can see all the, you know, the blood vessels and the red. I like that. You go to the x-ray and the guy puts it up on the, on the screen there, and the light, it's just transparent. Everything's just clear. You can see right through. Everything's made manifest. Our lives ought to be like that. We ought to be an open book. Nothing ought to be hidden. That's a pure, righteous man and woman that walks on the path of life and the path of righteousness. I believe that if we seek to be hiding, we are proud. And if we are proud, what happens is we are no longer on the path of righteousness, but we deceive ourselves. We've also come to a pit situation in our day-to-day where we have convinced ourselves that if people don't know it, then God doesn't know it. That's what's happened today. We've made the church God, in the sense that if the church doesn't know it, then God doesn't know it. But we've forgotten that God knows the secrets of men's hearts. That's what's happened today as well. And we've convinced ourselves that as long as people don't know it, I'm right with God. Where on earth did we get this wrong thinking from? But did you know God knows everything? And the fear of the Lord is understanding that God sees right through me and I'm transparent before Him. Well, my friend, if you're transparent before God, you won't have a hard time being transparent before men. And those that confess their sins before God are those that will be able to confess their sins before men if they've wronged a brother or done anything along those lines. And God knows the secrets of men's heart, and we must be weary and careful that if we are to walk this path of righteousness, there has to be a transparency. There's a purity, there's a transparency. And it says here in Proverbs chapter 4, let's go back there, verse number 18. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Not only is it a path of purity, not only is it a path of transparency, it is a path of plainness. It's a path of light. Have you ever tried to wander about in the night? I mean, we live in a day where there's lights everywhere in this city, but maybe when you go out on your travels at home, maybe you live over in Kurri or something, you get patches of dark spots there. Or you travel out in the country. And have you ever just tried to turn off your car lights? I've done that sometimes, just very quickly, by the way, just to, you know, see what it's like. It's very obscure, should I say. It's dark. You can't see much at all. In fact, darkness and obscurity go hand in hand. And those that are on the dark path, there is stumbling. Look at verse 19. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. If you're on the path of darkness, you don't even know what you're tripping over on. You're just tripping and tripping over on everything, and you don't even know what you're tripping on over anymore because you can't even see it. And that's the blindness of men's hearts when they deny the sinful condition of their own nature and convince themselves that they are righteous. They're on the path of darkness and they stumble and stumble and stumble, but they can't even work out what they're stumbling on because they refuse to come to the light of God's word and be shined upon so they can repent and turn to the right path. So here he's saying here that the path of darkness is stumbling. Why? Because it's obscure. You can't see. It's like a blindness, as it were. But if the path of darkness causes stumbling, my friend, then we can admit that the path of light and the path of the just as a shining light is a very plain path. It's a clear path. You see exactly where you're going. There's no confusion. There's clarity. There's clearness. And you walk. You know, at nighttime when you walk, you kind of just walk circumspectly in that sense. You know, you don't want to stumble or fall. But when we are walking in the light of God's word, we don't have to worry about where we're stepping. We just need to walk and walk and follow because the path is clear. There's clear, there's clarity, there's direction. It's not a doubtful path. It's a precise path. It's a directive path. It's a certain path. There's a sense of direction. You're not lost on the path of righteousness. You know where you're going, my friend. You have a goal. You have a person that you follow, our Lord Jesus Christ, and you have a boundary and you just walk. You just walk the way of the word. Yeah, it's a narrow path, but you just walk, my friend. That's all. You just got to take step after step. It's not very complicated. Have you ever noticed that God's way is not complicated? It's not confusing. It's clear. You open your Bible. It just says, okay, thou shalt not steal. We don't have to question and ask. It's just clear. God's not ambiguous. God is not hiding things. God is not trying to trick us. God is not trying to make us stumble or to make us feel like we're in a dark place. My friend, God's path is a path of light, and it's plain and it's clear. And those that walk in it walk in plainness and walk in clarity of heart and mind without confusion. And every time you stray and every time your heart wanders from the pathway of God, you understand that there's an obscurity there. There's a darkness. There's a lostness. You know, every time where I have strayed away from God's way, I've been more confused than I've ever been before. Every time that I have not been walking in the light and I've allowed myself sin to creep in my heart, I've been the most confused that I've ever been before. But the path of the just is a shining light. You know, imagine you were out in the bush and it was dark. And you couldn't see where you were going. There's all kinds of logs and trees and spider webs and you name it. And you're just plodding along through the bush. And it's dark. And it's dark. And the night approaches and more darker and darker. It's 12 o'clock at night and then it's 1 o'clock and 2 and 4 in the morning. And all of a sudden it starts to reach to 5. And when it hits about 5, 5:30, all of a sudden that light just peeps up over the horizon. There comes the light. And he says, the path of the just is as a shining light. It's like the sun that just pops up over the horizon and sheds its rays upon the earth. For that man walking in the darkness of the bush in the middle of the night, that light has just changed his whole path. That light has just put so much clarity upon what was a fearful place. That light has just taken all confusion out of his soul. All the things that feared him that night are now scattered away in the light of the sun of that morning when it dawns at the breaking of the dawn. And so it is, though we pass through the darkness of night and nothing can be seen, the sun begins to rise. The path of the just is just like that. It's like that light that comes up off the horizon and sheds its beams upon the earth. It's as that bright and shining light. Sometimes in the morning, often in the morning, I would wake up before the sunrise and try and seek the Lord. And just I have my window then. I like to open it or at least turn the blinds so I can have a look outside. And sometimes I get distracted by the rising of the sun. So I just delay my prayer time just a little bit and wait till it comes up a little bit, then I'll start to pray. Or before, whatever it may be. But sometimes just watching that beautiful sunrise just come up over the horizon. The whole scenery changes. Everything that was now dark and obscure and confusion has now been light, have become light. And so it is, my friend, with those that walk on the path of righteousness. Their way is clear. The light of God's word, the light of the work of Christ in their hearts makes their way very clear and plain, and it's not a pathway of confusion. If you're confused, you have to ask yourself, am I on the path of light? Maybe I've veered off somewhere along the lines here, or I've gone off the way of righteousness. Let's look at verse 18. We'll carry that analogy through, which the scriptures here is portraying. It says, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Those words, more and more, are in the scripture for a reason. Because you know, when that sunrise breaks over the horizon and bursts its rays onto the land, that is the beginning of more and more shining. The sun is not at its brightest when it rises above the horizon. It shines more and it shines more. And the Bible says here that the path of the just is as that shining light of clarity, that shining light of purity, that shining light of transparency. And it shines, my friend, and it shines, and those that stand on it shine more and more and more and more unto the perfect day. My friend, there ought to be an increasing in the light, not only of God's path, but on we who walk His path. This is what the proverb is saying here. The path of the righteous is as a shining light. He continues to shine and grow and grow and grow and grow unto the perfect day. And that's exactly what it is like to walk on the paths of righteousness. And my friend, the path continues to shine brighter. And as the path shines brighter, so he that walks the path also shines brighter. And as the path becomes clearer, so he that walks upon that path, he has more clarity of heart and more clarity of mind. And as that path becomes fuller and clearer, so he that walks it has a fuller and clearer understanding of God and of His holiness and of His word and of the way that He has led for us. My friend, when you first got saved, it was like the rising of the sun and the light of God's glory shined in the face of Jesus Christ and the beams of God's rays shed upon your heart. But as you continue to walk in righteousness, my friends, it gets brighter and brighter, and you get brighter and brighter, and you get holier and holier, and you get more righteous and more clearer, and you have more peace, and you have more righteousness, and you're more yielded than when you were when you got saved. And the Christian life, my friend, is like that light that shines brighter and brighter. Is your life shining brighter and brighter and brighter? I pray to God that we would shine brighter as a church, shine brighter as a people. Are you shining brighter? Are you growing more and more, should I say? Is it, or is your pathway just like still just got those little rays. The sun rises, but it increases in brightness and in clarity and in glory as the days go on. You should be holier this year than you were last year. You should be more in love with Christ this year than you were last year. You should be more honest in your dealings this year than you were last year. My friends, you should be more stable in your profession this year than you were last year. My friend, you should be more fervent in your witness for Christ this year than you were last year. That's if you're walking the path of the righteous, by the way. That's if you're shining more and more with the path into the perfect day. You ought to be more committed and more satisfied with Christ today than you were yesterday. Are you more satisfied with Christ today than you were yesterday? I mean, you hear stories about people that says, "Oh, I remember when Christ used to be all in all to me." Why isn't he all in all to you today? Well, he should be more and more to you today than he was yesterday. Because as you look at the path of righteousness and you look in the Word of God, all that happens is, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me and the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see. That's what happens to the heart of those that walk the paths of righteousness. They can't get enough of him. More holy, more righteous, more committed, more patient with my wife and more patient with my children, less angry with the government and with the laws and with those that offend me, and more in love with those that have given me grief in time past, less agitated, less frustrated, more thoughtful towards others rather than more thinking about yourself and more selfish. That's the path of the righteous, my friend. It's got to be growing, and it's got to be growing. And Christian, we ought to be growing and shining brighter. And if you stop growing, my friend, you're not on the path of the righteous. Get that. You're not on the path of the righteous if you stop growing. You need to get back on. You've taken a detour. The will of God should be clearer in your heart and mind today than it was yesterday. You should be more settled in your heart and more secure today than you were yesterday. You ought to be more wiser today than you were yesterday. And that's what it's like to walk the path of righteousness. And if you're not walking the path of righteousness, things don't get brighter and brighter. They get darker and darker. But the Bible says here that we are to walk the path of the just. It's like a shining light that shines more and more. You know, it gets sweeter as the years go by. It gets brighter, clearer, sweeter as the years go by. Is your Christian life become sweeter as the years have gone by? Don't say, "I used to be in love with Jesus." There was a church that used to be in love with Jesus in the book of Revelation. And Jesus gave them the answer to their problem. He said to the church at Ephesus, "Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." The answer to that question, "I used to be in love with Jesus," is, don't say, "I used to." Be in love with Jesus. Just repent. And do the first works. Go back to the love that you once shared with him when he saved you. The Bible says in Psalm 84 verse 7, "They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." They go from strength to strength. Are you going from strength to strength? Job 17 verse 9, it says, "The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger." Are you getting stronger and stronger in your dedication to Christ and your commitment to the Lord and your determination to walk the path of righteousness? In the book of 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We are changed into the same image of Christ, from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory, from one degree of glory to the next degree of glory. It's just getting better, and we're becoming more and more like Christ when we behold his glory and behold him. The problem is we don't behold him. We're not looking at him, and therefore we're not becoming like him. We're looking at our circumstances. We've forgotten the cross. We've forgotten the beauty of the new covenant, that Christ has given us a new heart and God has rescued us and washed us clean and put his Spirit and his law within us. We've forgotten all that, and what we've just been focusing on is my circumstance. Well, you know, when you do that, you've just taken a step off the nice path, my friend, and you'll be stagnant in your Christian experience and in your growth. The Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Have you been growing in your love and affection and your Christian experience? I want to ask you that question. Are you growing? Because the path of the just is as a shining light, like that sunrise, but it shines more and more. Are you shining more and more for Christ than you did last year? Really consider that, my friend. Shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of a just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The perfect day is when the sun rises and when it almost seems like it stood still in the sky. When it shines in the fullness of its strength and in the fullness of its glory. That's what the perfect day is. The path of the righteous increases with clarity, clearness, holiness, and joy unto the perfect day. Unto the day when that part of the day when the sun rises in all its glory and in all its strength. And we know that, brethren. Many of us have been out in the sun in the middle of the day, and we've experienced its fullness and we've experienced its glory, as it were, and you can't even set your eye upon it. You almost go blind if you set your eye upon it. Maybe the sunrise, you get a bit of a catch and a glimmer. But when that glory of the sun rises up to the perfect day, when it's at the mid part of the day, when it's at its hottest and when it's at its most powerful and beaming glory, he said, that's the perfect day. And so the path of the just is like that. When you, my friend, my brother, my sister, when you continue to take that path of righteousness, and grow, and grow, and grow, and grow in sanctification and in holiness and in purity. Things get clearer and clearer and brighter, and you get wiser, and God pours out more of His grace upon you, and just it gets growing, and you're growing, and the path is growing until the perfect day. You know what? Until you're swallowed up in the glory of God. Until you realized that, here I am, Lord. Just take me now. It's like, this is what I believe Enoch experienced. He walked with God. He just was walking that path of righteousness, and it was getting brighter for him and brighter, and it was getting better and sweeter, and it was just getting more wonderful and more lovely. And God said, okay, you're shining so bright, my son. I'm going to make you one of my stars in the heaven's glory. Come up hither. And he went to be with the Lord. It was he just shined brighter and brighter until that perfect day. The fellowship gets sweeter and fuller. And so it is when we walk with God and on His path, we feel, as it were, that the heavens come down and the glory fills our soul. We know the intimacy of a beautiful and clear and transparent relationship with our Lord and Savior, that I am His and He is mine, and in a love which cannot cease, I am His and He is mine, and it gets sweeter and more precious, and you get more closer, and you start to sing these hymns, and you start to wonder, oh yes, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh Jesus, blessed Redeemer, near to the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, a place where all is joy and peace. There is that, my friend. You can have that. The Christian ought to have that. In fact, that should be the normal Christian life upon the path of righteousness. There is a place of comfort sweet. There is a place of full release. It's almost like you've fallen off the cliff and you're trusting the Lord to carry you through. Full release, Lord, full surrender. And as you surrender, He pours His grace into your soul, and you just say, Lord, this is wonderful. Amen. Just one more step and I'll meet in heaven. Just one more step. There is that place. It's the perfect day, my friend. It's the place where we ought to be living. And as we climb that mountain, although it can be difficult, although it can be hard, God's grace is sufficient. As we tread that narrow road of righteousness and we plod along towards Zion's hill, my friend, one day we'll take one more step and we'll just be there. It's just one more step, my friend, and we'll be home. For some Christians, they feel like they're so far away from heaven. But when you're walking with the Lord, you feel like you're one step away from heaven. And that's what it's like for that righteous man who walks and grows, and he shines brighter and brighter and brighter, and the glory of the Lord is upon him, and God is working, and he's filled with joy and power of the Holy Ghost. And then it's almost like he's just waiting for those words. Come up hither. Come, my son.
You ever experienced that before? That ought to be the experience of the child of God. It ought to be brighter. It ought to be getting clearer. Less confusing. More fullness of God's grace and more fullness of His joy. It ought to be richer, fuller, deeper. Jesus' love is sweeter. It ought to be sweeter as the years go by. I want to read one last passage for you from that same chapter, chapter number 4. If we walk in God's light now, and we grow brighter, clearer, fuller, richer in our love for Jesus, one day we'll get to that place where we'll be in heaven, and the Lamb will be the light thereof, and His glory will shine forevermore. That's a blessed day. That ought to be how we're living, my friends, walking in the grace of our Lord and Savior. Look at verse number 19. It says, "But the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Verse 20, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." By the way, if you don't do these things, you're not on the path of righteousness. You come off the path. But listen, if you want to get back on, you know you haven't been there. Listen to these words here. "My son," He's God talking to you, "attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. My ways are good for you. Keep thy heart, guard thy heart, set a watch, put soldiers, as it were, before your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What you allow in will come out." And it says, verse 24, "Put away from thee a froward mouth. What you speak will defile you, and perverse lips put far from thee." These are the things that would take you away from the paths of righteousness. "Let thine eyes look right on," have a single focus. "If thine eye be single," the Bible says, "thy heart shall be full of light." You know, if you have a single vision and single focus of Christ, and the word "single" has the idea of simplicity and is not complicated. It actually comes from the word where we get a napkin, and simplicity means without folds, single, without folds. It's the opposite of complex. It's simple. It's just one simplex. It's a focus. And he says, if you have that, you focus on the light of God, your whole heart will be full of light. Here's what he's saying here. He's saying here, "Put away from thee those things, and let thine eyes look right on." Have a single focus. "And let thine eyelids look straight forward. Ponder the path of thy feet." My friend, don't be so foolish to go whichever way your heart wants to take you and wherever your feet want to go. Would you just ponder for a minute and think about it? Ponder the path of your feet. Where are my feet on? Which path am I treading today? Which path did I tread yesterday? Which path did I tread last week? Where am I today? Am I on this path of glory, or am I on this path of shame? But it says here, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 17, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth." I want to finish with one last thought. One of the most dangerous and subtle tricks of a man's heart, and I've experienced this in my own Christian experience, and it's what I have to keep watching out for, is that we can be walking that path of righteousness and get to the point where we've learned the disciplines of righteousness, and we've basically reached a certain point of righteousness, and we've become satisfied there. And what happens is, we look at our hearts, and we say, "I'm doing that. I'm doing right. I'm doing right. I'm doing right. I'm doing right. I'm doing right." But the reality is, we're not on the path of righteousness. We're not shining brighter and brighter. We're shining bright, but we're not going brighter and brighter. And my friend, if you're not moving forward in your Christian experience, you're moving backward. Don't be content with where you're at. There is more ground to possess. There's more light to shine. There's more light along God's path that He wants to pour out into our soul, that we can be a light to others. And one of the biggest dangers that I've experienced in my Christian life is that I've gone about and I've got all those boxes ticked, and I've concluded I'm on the path of righteousness. But God's saying, no, you need to shine brighter and brighter. You know, you've dealt with watching pornography, or you've dealt with fighting and punching people, and now you've just got a little bitter spot there, just a little disagreement with someone that you know
it's really their fault. You don't really have to fix it, right? Well, God's saying, hang on, I want you to shine brighter and brighter. You see that? It's that little speck of dirt right there? Well, if you're going to walk my path, I'm going to show it to you and I want you to deal with it. And then we're like, but hang on, he's on that path and hang on a minute. Are you shining brighter? Oh, but Lord, I don't anymore fight people. Hang on. When was the last time you apologized for something you did wrong to somebody? Or one way you could have rubbed somebody the wrong way and hurt their feelings. Do you not care about people anymore? Well, you've just stopped shining brighter and brighter, my friend. Oh, but I used to do really dodgy business practices. Okay, but when was the last time you told a lie? And did you make it right with the brother that you offended? But you know what? I don't anymore, do drag racing on the street in my car. You know, well, when was the last time you excelled the speed limit, my friend? When you knew that the Spirit of God was convicting you about that and you didn't confess that to the Lord? You see, the whole point of this passage is to show us that we ought to be shining brighter and brighter until that perfect day where we will be see Him and we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And the danger of the heart of the average child of God is that we learn the disciplines of holiness, but we lose the heart of holiness. Because the heart of holiness is always seeking to be more like the Savior, more holy, more shining brighter every single day. And I've found that happen to me. I know I pray more than most people. Lord, well, hang on. Did you let me lead you in your prayer life? Did you let me guide you? I know, but I pray more than this. But did you hear my still voice? Oh, Lord, but I read my Bible this many hours, and He doesn't do that. Well, I'm not asking that. Are you going to shine brighter and brighter for me today? And if you don't listen to that still small voice, and if you don't come to that place where you're going to confess and repent and turn back to the Lord, my friend, you are not on the path of righteousness. Don't deceive yourself, because you're not shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Let's pray.